Do you have a work trip coming up? Is it causing you stress or anxiety? Believe me, I know the stress of preparing for travel and the feelings of guilt and worry that can haunt your thoughts. But today, we're going to talk about how to best prepare for a work trip in order to set up your family for success while you're away, and some of my favorite tips that will have you feeling more confident and hopefully less stressed about traveling for work. So if you're ready to actually enjoy your work travels, then you are in the right place. Sit back, relax, buckle up, and enjoy the friendly skies because we're about to take off. Hey there, welcome to Working Mom Moments. Do you find yourself craving work-life balance and wishing you had more time in your day? Do you find yourself up late at night Googling how to get it all done, how to increase energy, or even searching for flexible jobs? Hey there, I'm Lacey. I too am a working mom that has struggled with the juggling act of getting it all done. I wanted more energy, less stress, and honestly, a little time to do something for myself. But I kept telling myself, well, this is just the way of life for working moms, and I had to power through until I found a little secret. I needed to get unstuck in order to create a life I truly enjoyed at home and at work. In this podcast, you'll find that secret too. You'll find time-saving solutions, motivation for the hard days, and a roadmap to mindset transformation. If you're ready to thrive as a working mom, you're in the right place. Block off this time on your calendar as a meeting with yourself, and let's dig in. Hey y'all, do you want to come hang out with a group of working moms who get what it's like to juggle career and motherhood? Inside the free Working Mom Moments Facebook group, you'll get support, encouragement, time-saving solutions, motivation for the hard days, and really strategies to help with the mental load of being a working mom. Simply head over to facebook.com/groups/workingmommoments. Also, I would love for you to become an insider and get regular emails from me, including the latest blogs and podcast episodes so you don't miss a thing, and tips and perspectives to help you find better balance and more joy as a working mom. Simply head over to laceyjungman.com/insider. I'll see you there. I remember when I first started traveling for work. At the time, I had young children, think 3 kids, 3 and under, probably 9 months, about 1.5 years, and 3 years old. I had received a promotion and was really excited and honored to have the opportunity to grow in my career and also use my strengths and talents to help some of our other locations in areas that I felt confident in. But honestly, this promotion required a bit of regular travel, and I didn't have a ton of experience with that. At the time, I was still nursing and trying to figure out how to bring breast milk through TSA and the scanners without drawing attention to the actual contents inside and through the security scanner. I mean, I was so worried at this point that I printed my rights as a nursing mom in case anyone had challenged me, which, by the way, I was challenged a couple of times and I did have to whip out my printed rights. So, side note, if you are traveling for work and you're a nursing mother, something to keep in your back pocket, printed. Literally, although I think times have gotten much better as I see airports now that have nursing mother rooms, and I think our culture has embraced nursing mothers a lot more than it was for me when I was nursing my children. But nonetheless, I do remember asking a flight attendant if I could sit in the back row of the plane because it was completely empty because I had to pump. And it was a long flight. And she said to me, no, you can't do that here. I'm like, no. I explained, I'm fully covered. It's absolutely within my rights. There's nothing, nobody will see anything. And she's like, okay, but it's not appropriate for you to be doing that here. And while we could talk all day and night about traveling while you're nursing and tips and tricks to do that, because I have pumped in a plane, I have pumped in a car, I have pumped in a train. I think that sounds a lot like a Dr. Seuss book, but nonetheless, it absolutely can happen. But more than anything, I was worried that my kids would get sent into a tailspin of emotional breakdowns while I was gone and felt guilty for placing so much responsibility on my husband while I was out for my career. Fast forward to several years ago, and now I travel frequently for work, sometimes 2 to 3 times a month. And although it creeps up every once in a while, I no longer feel those intense rushes of guilt or stress that used to plague me before and during a trip. And truly, when I finally learned to reframe my own view of work trips and adjust my expectations while I'm gone, that's when travel became a lot more enjoyable. And so I want to walk you through those two aspects that helped me tremendously in case you have a trip that's coming up as well. The two areas that really helped me were reframing the lens in which I view work trips, and two, adjusting my own expectations of what was happening at home while I was gone. So what does it really mean to reframe the lens of which you view work trips? For me, I looked at it initially as a celebration, right? It was an honor to be able to travel. The more and more I traveled, I was like, oh gosh, I feel guilty. This is no longer the excitement that I thought it was going to be. And all of a sudden, am I feeling as though I'm being forced to be away? That lens was full of negativity and not looking at the positive aspects that come with travel. And the very first positive aspect that comes to mind for me today, now embracing more of the travel, is that opportunity for self-care. We all hear that, oh, as working moms, or even just as moms in general, we need to make time for ourselves. We need that self-care. But what we're told is often it's bubble baths, or we should get a massage. And yes, those things are fantastic and can absolutely be self-care. That's not the end-all be-all when it comes to describing what self-care is. And for me, I just need a little bit of peace, a little bit of quiet. A time where people aren't asking me for something. I'm happy to give answers, give directions, help to coach somebody, help to get people in the right spot and get them encouraged and excited. I'm there 100% all the time. But once in a while, my own self-care would require me to have quiet. So much so that I embrace these opportunities of travel as that time for quiet, where it's just me. Now, whether you're traveling for a conference to hire somebody, or perhaps it's, you know, a cool opportunity that you're taking over a new location, or you've been promoted and you're doing some training. There's a variety of reasons of which we might be traveling, but regardless of the reason that you're traveling, there is that commonality of the actual travel time. And for many years, and even today, if I'm behind in work or if I can get ahead, I will do a little bit of work while I am waiting for the airplane to arrive, or while we're sitting on the tarmac, or while we're in the air. But I also embrace those times of quiet on the plane, and even as I'm waiting for the plane to arrive, as my own self-care time. So much so that I used to talk to everybody and anybody, I know, hard to imagine, that would sit by me at the airport or sit by me in the airplane. But once I've really started to embrace that this is my time, I pop my earbuds in, and sometimes I don't even have music in. I'm gonna be honest with you. If you're sitting next to me at the airport or on the plane, I may not even have music or an audiobook or anything in, but it's just my time to kind of drown out some of the noise and breathe. And if I'm working, cool, it's still quiet. If I am getting ready to read a book, quiet. That for me is a chance to reset in a way that I don't usually have that opportunity to. It forces me into a place of quiet. Now, you can absolutely chat with your neighbor that's sitting next to you on the plane, and you can learn a lot by sitting next to somebody and talking with them. And I have over the years, I have some really fun stories of people that I've met along the way. But I've actually learned to embrace the travel by giving myself what I need at that moment. Maybe it is to engage with somebody else. Maybe I need more adult interaction because I've been on Zoom calls only and seeing people in two dimension, and I need to see and talk to people in real life. Perhaps that's what I need. That's okay. That's part of self-care too. Oftentimes though, I find myself a little talked out, a little tapped out, and this is my time for quiet. And so whether you are on the plane alone, or you're in an Uber or a train alone, or you're sitting in your hotel room prepping for your meeting, or at the end of the day, you have your room alone. And I will also add the bed alone, to sprawl out in any way you want and not be interrupted throughout the night. I would challenge you and encourage you to start looking for opportunities during your work travels for time for yourself or self-care. For me, I always have one TV show that is always my airplane show. And I can't watch it while I'm sitting at home, or I can't watch it at any other time. I only watch it when I'm on the plane. And it gives me something fun to look forward to, right? Maybe I'm binge watching Love is Blind. If you're listening to this as it releases, Love is Blind is like super hot right now, season 5. I know this is gonna date my episode, but you know, that for me is one of those that I might binge watch on the plane because it's mindless. It gives me a little bit of satisfaction, a little bit of laughs, and also is my guilty pleasure. And so that's something that I look forward to when I get on a plane. Or maybe for you, you've downloaded a bunch of podcast episodes, hint, hint, and you haven't had a chance to absorb all of them. For you, that might be self-care. Maybe it's you know, self-learning or professional development or personal growth that you want to achieve by listening to these podcasts or even reading a book that you've been pushing off for a long time. It doesn't always have to be a professional development book. Maybe it's that juicy novel that you've been wanting to read or you took with you to the beach when you had your family vacation, but instead you ended up building sandcastles and being a present mom at the time and you didn't get that book read. So now in the air, that might be a time for you to do that. Find something that excites you about your trip. If there's nothing, find something that you want to learn, something that you want to accomplish that will help you in your next chapter, either personally or professionally, and identify maybe somebody that you'd like to connect with while you're out there. For me, I usually extend an invitation to somebody through LinkedIn that I may have met or through my extended network. I'll ask like, hey, I'm going to be in Dallas or I'm going to be in Huntington Beach. Do you know anybody that I should be meeting that I should know that would broaden my network? That's a cool opportunity to expand your network and get to know somebody if you have the time. You may not always have the time. One of the things that I promised myself is that because I was traveling so much, I would make travels hard on my body and myself so that it would be easier for my family. I wanted them to receive no backlash from my travel or as minimal as possible, right? So if I could travel first thing in the morning and I was on the 5 a.m. flight, which by the way, that means you have to get there at 3:30 in the morning, right? Or whenever you get there, which means you have to get up a heck of a lot earlier. If that's what that meant so that my family was less interrupted, that's what I was doing. And I would take the very first flight I could get back after my meeting was over because I wanted to maintain harmony within the house. Well, as I traveled more, I found that my husband is extremely competent and the kids actually enjoy their time with him. And I found that I wasn't feeling as much guilt. And when I really started to embrace these work trips, I found that maybe if I came in the night before, I was better rested. I might have time to actually work out. Something that many moms talk about, I don't have time to work out while I'm at home doing all the things it takes to be a working mom. And so if I came in the night before, it might give me that chance to work out or to try a new restaurant that's nearby where my meeting place is or my hotel. Or for me, sometimes I honestly just enjoy getting there the night before, spreading a towel on my bed, having DoorDash deliver my food to me, and watching TV or finishing up emails while I'm enjoying the quiet of my hotel room. Whatever self-care looks like for you, there are opportunities to embrace that during a work trip. And if you can't come in early on the front end, maybe you don't take that very first flight home on a certain trip and you take the later one that allows you to explore part of the area that you've traveled to. You know, there's so many times that people would say, oh gosh, how was Orlando? How was Destin, Florida? And I would say, I don't know. I saw the inside of my Uber and my hotel room. I didn't really explore anything else out there because I was in such a hurry to get my work done and get home to my family. And I ended up taking a little bit more time on the back end where possible, not every trip, but those opportunities to stay a little bit later, to see some of the tourist sites, to maybe fit in a massage at the resort that you're staying near or next to so that you can spend a little bit of time rejuvenating and refreshing before you head home, which by the way, I will remind you, you still have the flight home to relax and enjoy. And for me, once in a while, that means getting a glass of wine on the plane as well to relax and just kind of decompress from the day. And I also do a lot of writing. I love to write and then in the process of writing a book right now. And so that's my time that I really get creative on the plane is a glass of wine next to me and my laptop up and I kind of hammer away at the keys. Now, the second piece of this that I mentioned to really embrace your travels is to adjust your expectations of what's happening at home while you are traveling. So it's great to be able to communicate to your spouse or whomever's taking care of your kids while you're away all of the details that need to happen. Maybe it's the schedule of sports. Maybe it's the bottles. Maybe it's how to properly thaw breast milk. Maybe it is all of the different activities that need to happen to maintain a functioning house. And for me, I've always liked to have a clean house. I don't like dirty dishes in the sink. I like my counters clean. I have two main spaces that I have to have clean at all times, which is my bedroom and the main floor living room slash kitchen area. And yet, while I'm gone, it doesn't matter if anybody upholds those expectations to keep the house clean or even to follow through with all the activities that I have planned because the world will not end if my own expectations aren't met or if my husband doesn't care for the children the same exact ways that I would. In fact, the mental load of motherhood is always weighing on us. It's always running through our head. All of the things. Your spouse or whomever is looking after the kids will do it differently. What I learned was the value and the importance of my husband leading the charge while I was gone. It's always such a fun time for my boys to just have dad. While maybe I'm gone for 2 or 3 nights, they get to hang out just with dad and just do things that they want to do. It's so healthy and important for kids to have that opportunity with their dad uninterrupted. They can create a bond and really get into a rhythm that works for them. And they're creating meaningful moments while you're out doing what you need to do for work as well. And so it really helped me to reduce some of that guilt by seeing how much fun they had together. I had to really learn to avoid micromanaging. Not watching the cameras was a big step for me, right? So if you have cameras that are on the outside or inside of your house while you're away from work, it's kind of like if you send your dog to daycare and you can go check the cameras at any given time and see what they're doing. Well, after a while, you kind of get immersed into what's happening there, and it can be hard to shut off and really focus on what you're doing. Well, the same can be true if you're traveling for work. You're there for a reason. And so constantly checking the cameras to see what are they doing, or what time did my husband get home, and what time did, you know, potentially did he pick up the kids on time, or did he have a late fee because he was running late from his own work? I had to learn just to let them be. Let them form the bond. Let them do the things. They'll get it figured out. They won't do it my way, because simply it is harder with one person. And a shout out to the single parents who do it each and every day. I admire and respect you. And so while this episode is definitely geared towards those who have a spouse who help care for their children or co-parent with their children, there is much respect and much to be said for the single parents that do it each and every day. As I lean into letting the boys have their time with their dad, I only have one rule now when I travel, and I never even have to say it. I must have said it at some point because it's now an unspoken rule and everybody just does it. Or maybe I've lost my cool so many times that they're like, oh, let's do this before mom gets home. But I want the house picked up and cleaned when I come back. I don't want whatever tornado breezed through the house while I was gone to still be there when I return. I don't want to know. I don't want to see pictures. It's kind of like a bachelor pad in our house, is kind of how I envision it while I'm gone. And then I do want to hear about the fun memories that are made. And they eat out way more than I would want, but it's a fun thing for them to do together. And even though it may not be exactly how I would do it when I were home, the bonding moments and memories being made are so special. And it really does help to reduce the level of guilt and fear or worries or concerns that are in your heart while you're out traveling. Now, I will say one of the things we also had to learn was, do we FaceTime or do we not FaceTime? Because when our children were younger, and there's so many of them, I found it very difficult, honestly, to FaceTime while I was traveling. It would always cause tears. Not tears necessarily that they missed me so bad. There were a couple of times where it was that, but dad usually did a great job making sure everybody was feeling loved and getting the attention that they needed. But FaceTime really caused a lot of competition in our house. And so people were like jockeying for attention during FaceTime and knocking people out of the view of the camera. And it just became like a disaster for us. And so while the kids were younger, I might send a video through text that my husband could share with them rather than doing FaceTime, because it caused a lot of emotions to come up that made it more difficult for my husband at home to manage after I hung up. And so that's really a question that you have to decide is, you know, do we FaceTime, do we not? You can give it a try. If it doesn't work well for you, technology is so amazing and can keep us connected. But what I learned when my kids were younger was to really send videos to showcase photos of where I was traveling so that they felt like they were in the loop, but also they didn't have to jockey for position or attention at the same time. Now my kids are a little bit older. They have tablets or they have phones. And so it's easy to be able to FaceTime or video conference with them each individually as needed. Other suggestions that worked for me, especially when the kids were little, is I would have mommy and me journals. And so each child for Christmas one year, I think it was Christmas, got a mommy and me journal. And for the youngest ones, we just drew pictures back and forth. And for the older ones, there were questionnaires. You could circle yes or no. Do you like cheese pizza? Do you like pepperoni pizza? And you can find any of these journals on Amazon, and they were super cool. As they got older, then they were fill in the blanks, you know, these are the questions I want to know answers to, maybe about your past, mom, or when you were little, did you like X, Y, or Z? And they prompt you with questions so that the journal would go back and forth between my room and their rooms, and they could leave me a note and then I would answer it. And it was really a fun moment for us. And we utilized those when I would travel. I would always try to make a note inside of those journals as I traveled. So even if I didn't have time to FaceTime with them while I was on my trip, we still had the opportunity to connect and they could still read a note from me. Now, the other thing I will share with you, FaceTime, no FaceTime, journal, back and forth, if that works for you, cool. If not, totally understand. The other thing I will say is souvenirs. If you are traveling regularly, give up the souvenirs. It would just be my suggestion. I traveled significantly to different parts of the country. And if I were to bring a souvenir home for four children on every trip, I would be broke. And the other thing is the expectation of children, right? Like, souvenirs are nice surprises and gifts every once in a while. But when I was traveling so much, they didn't want the same, you know, Texas or Arizona keychains that I might normally get them. And honestly, it just became something that would get thrown away after a while anyways. So for me, the expectation that everywhere I went, I would have to bring flashy souvenirs home was unrealistic. And what I ended up doing was maybe finding a box of chocolates that were branded with the local city or state that I was with. I could pick it up in the airport and it would be something for us to sample or try together as a family. There was like a chili seasoning I remember getting one time when I was in Texas, and we threw that into our chili. And so that became a sample Saturday option. I'll share sample Saturdays where we sample different, a variety of different foods on Saturday so that their taste buds could expand and try new tastes. And so that then made its way into sample Saturday. So those are really different ways in which I would bring home souvenirs, not specifically for every kiddo, but for the family, and even not every trip. So the expectation wasn't always there that I was going to bring something home for them. And then when there was a fun surprise, there was more excitement around it. And honestly, sometimes I was basically sprinting from the front of the airport to get to my gate and I had no time. And the whole level of expectation was pretty low that I was going to bring something home. And that honestly helped my guilt as well. Just imagine if you are tasking yourself with the expectation to bring a souvenir home every single trip for every single person. That's a lot of extra weight that you are carrying, not only in your carry-on bag, but also mentally. You have enough on your mind as a working mom. Is this really something that you want to add to your plate? If it is, cool. But if it's not, let that thing go. Give yourself permission to let it go. And as always, communication is critical. Share the mental load, the priorities, the plan with your spouse ahead of time. Give them enough time to ask questions. Although I will say, oftentimes I've communicated a plan and it wasn't until the plan needed to be executed and I was gone that the questions came. But hey, they're going to figure it out. Put a plan together, communicate it to the best of your abilities, and guess what? Your husband, your caregivers, whomever is watching the children, they will figure it out. I promise you. How you communicate is just as important as what you communicate, though. So be excited. If they see that you're sad to leave, they'll worry about you and they're going to mirror the same emotions that you have. It's okay to tell them that you'll miss them, but share in the excitement of where you're going, the cool things that you're going to be able to see and do. Share your hotel room with them or pictures of what that hotel could look like. And the same is true when you return. Share some of the cool experiences with them and ask what they would do. Hey, I had this situation come up when I was traveling. What would you do in that situation? You might just be surprised at the intuitive nature children have when you ask them these type of questions. And you may even get some good ideas for the future. I hope this episode has helped you, and I'd love for you to come and join and share your favorite working mom tip in my free community where we discuss mindset, motivation, time-saving strategies, and so much more. I'll meet you over at Facebook.com/groups/workingmommoments, and be sure to sign up for my insider email at laceyjungman.com/insider. I'll see you there. Hey y'all, I hope you enjoyed today's episode. If so, would you take 30 quick seconds and share it with a friend who may need to hear this message as a working mom? Also, please leave a quick review for the show on Apple Podcasts. It lights me up when I hear from listeners to know that this podcast is helping you. Okay, time to cross a few more things off my never-ending to-do list. I know you can relate. So I'll meet you back here on Tuesday for another episode. Until our next working mom moment, have a beautiful day.